as they say. Stars need to shine. Internet has made our world a global village. It is also believed that we live in men's world. In light of this myth, we observed systemic bias about women across all borders, even on Wikipedia, the world's largest online encyclopedia, with only 13% biographies about women. We are of the opinion that women, who are nation builders, should be given better representation in all ramifications. Therefore, Wikimedia Nigeria and WFM 91.7 are working together on Wiki Loves Women, a radio program that is poised to address systemic bias against women by improving and increasing the number of content about Nigerian women on Wikipedia. Wiki Loves Women,
7:30 p.m.
Wednesdays on WFM 91.7.
WFM 91.7.
It is 7:30. This is Wiki Loves Women on WFM 91.7. Wiki Loves Women is that on-air program that educates us about women from Africa and Nigeria specifically, who are doing exceedingly well in their professional ambitions and have been able to make a name for themselves. Today, I'll be speaking with Yejide Ayomofe Runsewe Akeredolu. She is an experienced curator and head nomad at Naija Nomad. This is a top online travel brand in Nigeria that specializes in seamless travel experiences for Nigerian travelers through, you know, a movement called the Green Passport Movement. I will let her join us and speak to us on what exactly the Green Card Movement is and what Nigerian Nomads is all about. Hi, good evening.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening, Yejide. Good to have you on the program.
Good to be here.
All right. So, first of all, I like to say that I've gone through your Instagram, and I'm like, I can't believe most of those places are in Africa. I've seen amazing pictures that look like, you know, things we see on our wallpaper. Are you saying that Africa is that amazing?
Oh, yes, it is. I feel that Africa is pretty much what we make it.
So. Okay.
Pretty much depends on like what you want to get out of an experience. So if you go to like a particular place or a particular destination in Africa, you'll definitely see like the good, the bad, and the ugly. So for us, we concentrate on the good, take the good things out of it, and then showcase that part. Because I mean, we already have the media showing of the bad and the ugly of Africa. We might as well show people the good sides to it. Yeah.
Amazing, amazing. Okay, yeah. So tell us exactly, in your own words, how you would describe Naija Nomads, the brand, and what exactly the Green Passport Movement is.
Okay, so I would say we're like the number one travel resource in Nigeria for Nigerians. So say, for example, you're a Nigerian traveler, you have a Nigerian passport, you're thinking about places to go with your Nigerian passport, Naija Nomads is there for you.
Mm.
You're thinking about, so that's pretty much what we are in a nutshell. And then what the Green Passport Movement is, so this is how it started out. So I am a very spontaneous traveler. So I wake up in the morning and I want to go somewhere the next week or in 2 weeks. And most times I'm always stifled by the color of my passport because I either need a visa somewhere or I need to, you understand, so I need like a visa there or I need to get an e-visa or whatever the case may be. So I'm like, you know what, I know there are destinations that I can go with my Nigerian passport without having to drop my passport for 2 weeks or 6 months or 3 months in the case of Canada. You know what I mean? So I'm like, you know what, I might as well focus on these destinations and showcase these destinations to the Nigerian traveler. That's how we started, pretty much. So it started out from my own experience. So I'll pick up a passport and say, okay, you know what, I want to go somewhere. I look on the map, I'm like, okay, this person is visa to or visa and arrival for Nigerians, I'm gonna go there. And that's how we started.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's interesting. And sharing that knowledge with everyone, I mean, were you surprised at the amount of Nigerians that didn't have that information?
So when we started out Naija Nomad, we pretty much just started out sharing experiences. So generally, so we're not niche. So we just share every travel experience that comes our way. So it started off with sharing mine, rather,
okay.
And then people decided to send in their own travel experiences. So we'll share, people will get excited and all that. So when we started concentrating on going past friendly destinations, I was super surprised. Like, I have put out, like, a list of destinations where you can go with your same passport, visa, free visa on arrival, or get an e-visa. And if I put out that thing over 100 times, I can tell you. And if I put it out today, people are still so surprised.
They're so surprised
that, oh, you can go to Lebanon, and you can go to Lebanon visa on arrival, for example. Or you can, if you go to, if you have like a US, UK, or Schengen visa, you can get an e-visa to Turkey or Gambia. It's totally visa-free. Yeah, you know, so people are actually still shocked and still amazed that this information we put out there. I'm not going to lie, I think, oh, everybody was listening already, but every time we put out, oh, did you know this destination is visa-free, or you can get your visa on arrival, people are always shocked at that information. So I'm going to keep sharing it.
Amazing. Apart from solving that problem for people, is there something about, you know, would you describe yourself as an adventurer? Do you love to travel?
Oh, yes. So this brand stemmed out of my own love for adventure. So I'm like, I'm not with my friends, I'm like the most spontaneous or most adventurous person. And I was so tired of having to say, oh, let's go on a trip, everybody goes out. You understand, like, 2 days in trip or a week in trip or whatever. So I'm like, you know what, I need to attract people like me. I want to create that community of kind of adventurers like me. I mean, the typical Nigerian is like a shopper. There's nothing wrong with that, to be honest. If that's you, that's fine. But typical Nigerian is like a shopper or the leisure traveler. You don't really find Nigerians that are adventurous travelers. So when I started the brand, I'm like, I needed to find other Nigerians that were exactly like me, that would want to jump off a plane or would want to sleep in the Sahara Desert.
Was that hard though? That it sounded like, it sounds like it was hard.
But good thing it wasn't.
Oh, okay.
What I thought, it actually wasn't hard. And then because of that, I've been able to curate trips for people like me. And we always get people. Like, I've never had to cancel a trip before, ever.
Oh, okay.
Because I always get people. Yeah, so we always get people that want to do these adventurous things. You know what I mean? It wasn't as difficult as I thought it would have been. It wasn't at all.
Okay. All right, so looking at your rap sheet, you have a degree in law and you have a master's in law as well. And how did you come about, you know, trying to offer seamless travel experiences to people? Did you undergo any form of studying on travel or tourism, or it's all experience by hand, first-hand experience?
It's all first-hand experience. I had zero knowledge in travel. I studied law. I'm from a family of lawyers. I have an LLM in media law. I worked in a law firm for like 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah, before I started out this travel platform. So travel has always been something that I have always enjoyed and I've always loved to do. So I just used to write my blog at the side during my lunch break and things like that. And yeah, so that's pretty much how it started. So I have no experience of hospitality or tourism or anything like that. It's just something that super passionate about.
Amazing. So if you could pick one place in the entire world as your most favorite location, where will that be?
Is it somewhere I have been or somewhere I haven't been?
I guess, well, anywhere.
What? I guess somewhere I have been would definitely be Seychelles.
Okay.
Because that is one destination that I went to the loop that was exactly as I imagined it in my head. So you know how they say, oh, when you're going to destination, kind of lower your expectations so you're not too disappointed?
Yes.
For Seychelles, my expectations were like 200% over 100.
Oh,
and
nice.
And it surpassed me. Yes. It's something out of the movies. Like, it doesn't even look real. Like, sometimes I see my pictures, and I went there in 2013, which is like, what?
Like
5-6 years ago?
Yes.
Yeah. So I see my pictures to date, and I'm like, I can't believe this is like this. It is that amazing. Like, it's insane. So that's somewhere I have been that's my number one destination. Now, somewhere I haven't been, that is still my number one destination, is definitely Thailand. Thailand. Too many stories. When you go, yeah.
Too many pictures. We should go there, right?
Too many stories. I need to go. Yeah.
All right. Okay. So, of course, it was natural for you. You loved, you had the taste for adventure and all of that. But how did you transform this into a business, you know, that actually made money for you?
Yeah. So, okay. I started off, like I said, writing a blog, sharing other people's experiences and all of that. And then people just wanted to connect with other travelers. I think that's how I started the group trip aspect of it. So people just wanted to connect with other travelers, put out this person's picture, people that are interested in travel, interested in that kind of travel, follow the person, they DM each other and things like that. I'm like, okay, it would be nice to actually have like a community or a space where people can actually connect and meet each other and chill and laugh and just banter about how horrible our passport is. I started out with the group trip. So the very first one I did in collaboration with another travel brand, and we went to Kajuru Castle in Kaduna State. That's how much my love for adventure is.
Okay.
So we went to Kajuru Castle in Kaduna State, and it was amazing. And it's kind of worrying, people weren't going to come. It's the north, people are quite scared about the north and things like that. But people signed up and they came and they had an amazing time. So that's how it just started. Well, I was okay, from one good trip to the next, and we can't stop now.
Okay. Yeah. And then it just spiraled from there.
Exactly. So now, so we do flights, we do visas. The content creation for brands. It just stemmed from that. It started with that one group trip that we did.
Amazing. And, you know, I'd like to know, you know, the different setbacks you may have had when it comes to charging exactly what you're worth. People don't necessarily think people don't like to pay for experiences. People just feel like, oh, what are you doing for me that you're charging me this amount of money, such and such. So how do you manage? And sometimes it messes with your confidence. So how do you manage all of that? I want to add, as a woman, because it really is a documented problem that people reduce the value of the work women do. So how have you managed that?
Well, for me, I mean, nothing can mess my confidence. I'm an extremely confident person.
Okay.
So, like, I really mentioned that because this year we decided that anybody that comes to, like, the Nomads or whatever, and is asking for, like, a custom trip, before we start off anything for you, you have to pay some sort of commitment. Okay, I don't know, we can't do that. I'm like, but you have to, because this thing you think is easy is not easy. For example, we're doing, like, an accommodation search for you. It takes us, like, at least 3 hours, depending on how busy or how demanding your request is. It took at least 3 hours to get, like, the perfect accommodation for you. That is time, and time is money. So I don't care when it comes to charging a certain fee or whatever, because I feel that people that value your work will come to you. And anybody that isn't willing to pay for your work,
shoot.
You don't need to bother. But yeah,
to the left.
Your target audience. Exactly. You know, that's not your target market. They're not your people. Just let them go. You know, people that will value your work will come to you. That's what I believe.
All right. Thank you so much. I should write that down somewhere. But people that would value your work would come to you. Okay. So do you have any plans? What plans do you have on taking Niger Nomads to the next level? Say in the next 10 years, what should we expect out of
Niger Nomads? You guys have to watch out. But honestly, like, I'm working hard towards, like, making Niger Nomads like a household name. We want to be that brand that when people think about, oh, travel within Nigeria, you think about Niger Nomads. So we're trying to, like, encompass everything. So, but like I said, number one travel resource in Nigeria, that's the target.
Okay.
And hopefully we get there. Yeah.
All right, amazing. So are there, you know, people that have been doing this that you look up to? Is there a goal you're trying to get to? How many countries are you trying to visit?
Are you trying to do
100 destinations?
Yeah, Yeah, so I don't, that's the thing, like, I feel like putting, if I give myself all those targets, like, I'm going to put myself on that unnecessary pressure.
Okay.
What is it, actually, how many countries do you want to go to? I'm like, I really don't know. I can't tell you I want to go to 50 countries by 2050 or something. I don't put any of, I don't give myself unnecessary pressure, because I just go to this place, enjoy myself and just immerse myself in culture and just have fun. That's the most important thing for me, as opposed to like counting countries or setting goals and targets. Because I mean, if I set those targets myself and I don't meet them, then I feel like I feel like a disappointment, you know. So I don't set all those country targets at all.
I see, that's another angle.
Yes,
that's an interesting angle, actually.
Yeah, in terms of countries, I have no targets, but in terms of like taking Niger, I really want to take Niger Nomad to every grand passport friendly destination in the world. Okay. Let's just put it that way. So I don't have a target. I don't have to do that 2050 or 2030 or whatever. So we're definitely going to conquer every grand passport friendly destination in the world.
Amazing. Yeah. All right. So yes, and in the 10-year target as well, where do you see, because you made a comment on how the Nigerian passport can be so limiting. What
is it?
What do you think can happen in the next 10 years as regards to the Nigerian passport?
Well, first of all, I feel like we have to, I think the issue, the passport is limiting and everything. We are very quick to throw different countries under the bus. So, but we as Nigerians, I think we have to work on ourselves first. Mm. You know, before people will be willing and open to take us in. You see what I mean? So I think we have to work on, like, the image of the country is super, super, super important. But if we're being honest with ourselves, that is the reason why we have to go through such stress, you understand, to get visas.
True.
This is, a lot of countries, a lot of other countries all require visas, but their processing is not as difficult as
it is in Nigeria.
Exactly. Like, for example, like Thailand. I think Kenyans do require visas to Thailand, but it's not as difficult as if a Nigerian passport holder trying to get a visa to Thailand. You have to get like NDLA clearance. Your two dancers have to be at the embassy with you. They don't play, and that's because we're taking drugs to their country a couple of times, you know. So, I think the image and the perception is super, super, super important before anything can change. Yes, I know there are different agreements between countries and things like that, but all that is secondary compared to what our problem is. And we know what the problem is.
Okay. So we have to fix. And the problem is what? Corruption?
It's us. It's not just corruption. I mean, it's the individuals, it's we as Nigerians, that's what I mean.
Okay.
Not necessarily like corruption as a whole. Because we as Nigerians, okay, they give you a visa to the US, you stay there. Why are you staying there to give a visa? Come on. You know?
So that sounds like corruption. But you know, not in leadership, but like in everyone.
I thought you meant in leadership.
No.
Yeah, okay. Oh yeah, in everyone.
Yeah,
definitely.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much. So I'm curious, where is the destination, you know, most people want to go to? What's your the most frequent?
Nigerians?
Yes, most Nigerians.
Oh, it's definitely Dubai. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting country.
That's definitely number one, yeah.
Okay.
Definitely Dubai. Yeah.
All right. Okay, so, of course, this is still Wiki Loves Women here on WFM 91.7. We've been speaking with Yejide of Niger Nomad. She has been taking us through the entire process. I feel like I am now an expert when it comes to travel. Not exactly. I still need your help. But, you know, it has been an amazing conversation. Feel free to tweet at us at WFM917. Use the hashtag Wiki Loves Women to ask or contribute. Ask any question or make any contributions. So, Yejide, you're out on social media, right? You're on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. How would you say social media helped to influence travel generally and then travel for you?
Oh, wow. Social media has been like, I don't even know, that's like our holy, like, it is our everything. Like, social media has influenced, like, because travel is very, especially Instagram. So you know how travel is very visual,
and yes,
people buy what they see. So when they see like a nice destination perfectly curated, perfect pictures, even down to the outfit. Everybody wants to look. I remember speaking to, when I went to Cappadocia in Turkey, I remember speaking to the guy that owns like a hot air balloon company. So I did a hot air balloon thing there.
Okay.
And he was saying that it had been in operation for over like 20, 30 years. And it was not until Instagram came. But the moment Instagram came and people started curating pictures to Cappadocia, they have over 100 flights per day.
Oh,
100 balloons in the air.
And it had been there. There was access. Just, it wasn't...
Yes.
Amazing.
Yes.
Amazing.
So you see the power of Instagram. So they have over 100 balloons per day, and each balloon basket takes an average of 8 to 16 people.
Okay.
So you can imagine how many people are up in the air per day.
Per day.
It's ridiculous. It's, yes. Yes. It's ridiculous. So Instagram especially has been super, super, super powerful. I can see people send us pictures of maybe like their favorite travel influencer in a particular place, and they're like, oh, I want to go there. Like when we curated a trip to Morocco, I remember everybody that came on the trip were like, oh, I was going to see the Blue City. That's your
yes. I've actually seen that picture.
Exactly.
Okay.
And everybody online has been to Seychelles, so everybody now wants to go to Seychelles. Like there's like an entire queue to stand in that particular blue spot with like flower pots by the side to take a picture there.
Mm.
It's ridiculous.
Okay.
Instagram has been such an amazing tool. And for us in our business as well, like, we barely do, I mean, apart from like email marketing, that's the only other marketing we do outside social media marketing. Most of our clients are being from social media.
All right.
At least 80%. Yes. So it's been quite,
Amazing. All right. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing. It's, I mean, I've just learned that aesthetics is, I think, an important part when it comes to selling travel.
It is super, super important. And then for us, I must add this as well.
Okay.
So for us, every time we go to a destination, we kind of like every, like one day out of the entire trip, we tell everybody, okay, wear this particular color, so we're going to take like,
so that's planned.
And it is, yes.
Okay, thank you for telling me that. I thought the universe just aligned, and then
no, they don't.
Okay, thank you for telling me that.
So it is intentional, and it is planned. And this picture is what helps us sell like our next destination. So like our Morocco picture helps us sell Lebanon, which is like in the next 3 months or whatever. You see what I mean? So it's very intentional.
All right. All right. Thank you so much, Yujide. So it's time for me to give everyone five facts about you. All right. Okay. So number one, she never studied any course related to tourism in school. She's a lawyer. Number two, she has an entirely different voice when she talks over the phone and on air. So, I'm...
That is so true.
Right?
I don't know how, but I don't sound the same. I don't understand how and why, but I do not sound the same.
We will look into it. We'll. Okay, number three, she's actually always shy to go on air or on TV. Interesting. Yeah. I couldn't tell.
Yeah.
Nah, I couldn't tell at all. All right. Number four, she doesn't like to visit a destination multiple times. When she goes once, she makes sure the trip is remarkable and then moves to the next destination. So, you're definitely covering like the entire planet sooner than later. That's what it means.
Yeah.
All right. And the fifth fact is she can be very picky, especially when planning a trip and choosing accommodation. All right. I mean, I'd like to know this about my experienced curator, because I also would want the best accommodation. All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing this part of yourself with us. But before we let you go, first of all, you didn't give us any personal detail. What do you like to do for fun? I mean, your job is fun, so I don't know if that counts.
Exactly. That's what I do. I love to travel. That's pretty much my life.
Okay, yeah. So you take a vacation from planning vacations and then you go on a vacation.
Exactly.
I am so jealous. I'm so jealous. Oh my God. Okay. Yeah. All right. All right, that's cool. That's cool. That's cool. What do you think about the Wiki Loves Women initiative?
Well, I think it's super amazing. So before I came on, I listened to like a couple of women on the page.
Okay.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, okay, because I'd never heard of it before and all that. So when I got the email and everything, I'm like, oh, let me listen to it. And I know like two women that had been featured.
Mm-hmm.
So I listened to them. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is super, super amazing. You guys are trying to like put African women on the map and all that. So well done.
Thank you. And of course, thank you for being on the map, you know, giving us content to actually put on the map. Thank you so much.
Thank you
for stopping by. And
Wow,
is that, do you have a favorite song so I can play it for you?
Oh wow, this is hard. I mean, okay, like what is on my playlist right now is Wande Coal.
Oh my goodness. Okay. You really like it. You're about the enjoyment life. It's okay. So before we let you go, yes, you have to say something for the girls, you know, the young girls that are upcoming and wanting to chase their dreams.
Yeah. Well, be resilient and don't give up.
All right. Thank you so much for chatting with us and good luck with Niger Nomads.
Thank you so much.
I get a girl where they trouble me, oh. She doesn't bust my brain.
It's 5 minutes to eight, and here is what you need to know about Wikipedia. Wikisource, originally called Sourceberg, as a play on words for Project Gutenberg, began in November 2003 as a collection of supporting text for articles in Wikipedia. It grew rapidly, reaching a total of 20,000 text units in various languages by May 18th, 2005. In August and September of 2005, Wikisource moved to separate subdomains for different languages. Now, the distinction between the Wikisource and Wikibook projects is relatively easy. Wikisource focuses on materials published everywhere else. Wikisource can be viewed as a library of public domain works, while Wikibooks are instructional materials written by contributors themselves. There are study guides, classroom textbooks, and annotated text for classroom use. The area of annotation to source text is a grey area, with some legitimate overlap between Wikisource and Wikibooks. For guidelines on this, be sure to visit the website. Now, while Wikipedia is an encyclopedia, Wikisource is a library. Wikipedia contains articles and books, while Wikisource includes the book itself. To some extent, both may include bibliographical material about the author. And that is all you need to know. That's all you need to know today on Wikipedia. Don't forget to link up with us on Twitter at WFM917 and on Instagram and on Facebook and, of course, on YouTube. This is Wiki Loves Women on WFM 91.7. Good evening.